Hey, gang. Didn't see you there for a second. Welcome. Welcome to the show, National Bugle Radio, broadcasting from the co-certified studios in beautiful downtown Burbank. I'm here with my trusty engineer, Mr. T, and his assistant, Mini-Me. And I think we have Mark Dankoff on the line. Mark, welcome to the show.
Well, hello there. How are you doing today?
I'm doing just fine. You know, I was on a show earlier this morning with Don Black, and we had a caller. And I think the caller mentioned, or maybe Don Black referred to a particular politician as being kosher certified. And I thought about it. I thought, you know, the kosher certified app right now, it has food. It has, actually, there's a lot of non-food products. A lot of cleaning products get kosher certified. The co-certified app might want to start a section on maybe politicians that aren't kosher certified. What do you think of that?
Well, that would be a very interesting thing. And
might be a very small section.
Might be a very small section, but I think it would be useful for people to know who truly represents them in the United States Congress and Senate and who doesn't. And I suppose this extends not simply to the Congress, but to certain people in the executive branch of the government. It certainly ought to be looked at in terms of state legislatures and governors, where you have all kinds of policies that the Israeli lobby pursues at the state level in regard to investment in their pension funds and so forth. That would be a real eye-opener for folks to see exactly how deeply this problem runs.
It is. Well, people can go to the kosherquestion.com or go to nationalbugle.com. That's a good place to go because lots of good news articles up there. And Mark, thank you so much for really filling that up with really interesting articles. But you can go and you can download the Kosherified app. I certainly encourage you to do that. And, you know, one of the reasons I promote the Kosherified app is because it can be expanded from food. I mean, there's really that it's really a template for so many things that we could be doing that would be important information. But Mark, I know that you've got some articles and some topics that you've been researching and would like to discuss.
Well, yeah, there are a few things that we could discuss as well as anything else you'd like to throw into the mix today, Dr. Slattery. Per usual, I drew up at least six news stories and put them on the National Bugle site that will be of extreme interest to people as we attempt to discern just how close we're getting to some real problems in foreign and military policy, especially in the Middle East. I put up today a Kim Sengupta's article from the UK Independent. It's entitled "Trump Administration Hawks Putting U.S. on Course for War with Iran, Report Warns." That report comes from the National Iranian American Council, or the NIAC. I also posted a series of things on the Mujahideen-e-Khalq, or MEK, the People's Holy Warriors, and the history of that organization going all the way back to the 1960s in Iran, and the whole so-called Islamic Marxist and terrorist history of this organization that is now in bed with both the United States and Israel in terms of doing Zionist bidding in the fight against Iran and Iran's current regime. Paul Pilar has one at the National Interest entitled "The MEK and the Bankrupt U.S. Policy on Iran." Aaron Murat at The Guardian has a 6,600-word compendium on the MEK that published on the 9th of November. It's entitled "Terrorists, Cultists, or Champions of Iranian Democracy, The Wild, Wild Story of the MEK." Again, that's almost 6,700 words long, but it's an excellent summation of the magnitude of the problem. Rania Kalek, and I just put this one up on our National Bugle site, has a video for Russia Today out there entitled "The U.S.-Backed Cult to Rule Iran." And then just to round things off, I put in Sheldon Richman's "The Art of the Smear, Israeli Lobby Busted." Sheldon talks there about the necessity of every American watching this Al Jazeera film series, which is in three or four parts, to really get a sense of how these folks operate. And I believe he has links in that article to each segment of that film series. And then last but not least, I listed James George Jotras' story entitled "The U.S. State Department Paid $25 Million Bribe to the Patriarch of Constantinople to Foment Religious Chaos in Ukraine." I posted, I believe, on our site, the Lou Rockwell reprint of that article. I believe the original appeared at Russia Insider and at Jatris's so-called, I believe, Strategic Insider. But that nonetheless gets into the whole question of the Ukraine and how apparently the CIA and other globalist elements working in tandem with intelligence agencies that don't like Russia are trying to engage in actions that would subvert the Russian Orthodox Church and hence to subvert Russia itself. So those are just a few of the ideas in regard to what we could kick around today as we get closer to some really, really dicey things.
Okay. So one of the articles is on, you know, the push for war with Iran. We've been hearing about this push for years and years and years. As soon as the Iraq invasion, as soon as mission accomplished had been declared in Iraq, it looked like Iran was the other shoe waiting to be dropped. And it hasn't happened. I thought that certainly the neocons in the Bush administration wanted it to happen. They weren't able to make it happen. And I will give a little bit of credit to President Obama, because I know there was a lot of people in his administration who wanted it to happen, and it didn't happen. I don't think President Trump wants it to happen, but there are forces in, you know, well, he's got John Bolton as secretary, as national security advisor, and you mentioned Pompeo. They have both certainly spent their careers in, as Zionist puppets. One wonders, you know, with Bolton, this is almost certainly his last hurrah. Pompeo is younger and politically ambitious. He's a former congressman, probably sees himself as a future president. With Bolton, you know, one might hold out a slim sliver of hope that he might decide that from now on his bread is buttered on the Trump side, but that is probably delusional, wishful thinking. There's one question I wanted to ask you. Bolton had a deputy national security advisor by the name of Mira Ricardel, somebody apparently close to him, somebody who has a, I don't know if you're familiar with her, but she has a history as a staffer to Senator Bob Dole. She was a Reagan Republican. She's very establishment Republican. And Melania Trump just had her fired. And apparently she had, I don't know if this is really big news or important news, but she is, you know, she's a Bolton ally, although apparently had made some enemies in the administration beyond Mrs. Trump. She's of Croatian ancestry. I don't know if she speaks Croatian, I think Melania Trump speaks Croatian. I don't know if Melania is Slovenian, but I'm pretty sure she also speaks Croatian. And, she accompanied Melania on the Africa trip, and Melania was very unhappy about it. Yeah, actually, I'm seeing now that this woman also speaks Croatian. So Mira Ricardel speaks Croatian as well. So, I don't know how significant that is, but there's a lot of infighting going on, and this woman's part of the national policy team, and of course there's a lot of shakeup that might go on in the border security team with John Kelly and in particular Kirstjen Nielsen. So first of all, are you familiar with the firing of Mira Ricardel?
I'm familiar with it to the extent that I saw the antiwar.com reports on it the day that it happened. To me, again, I think this lady in particular is just another, as you've put it, establishment Republican type that tends to float around as an advisor to these John Bolton types. To me, the most positive thing out of that firing, in my mind, is the signal that perhaps it sent to Mr. Bolton lest he think he's too powerful in the National Security Division of the president's team, that the First Lady might just decide otherwise if he crosses her. So that was the way I interpreted that. Maybe this was an opening gunshot and something positive. Gunshot to only metaphorically speaking, of course, in regard to reducing Bolton's power or flat getting him out of the administration. You know, as you look at this whole scene that Kim Sengupta reports in the UK Independent, to me it's not simply a question of the positions that Bolton and Pompeo hold. And of course, Nikki Haley, up until her recent departure from the administration, from her place in the UN, but it's a question of who isn't there. You know, there were a series of senior Trump administration officials who had urged against withdrawing from this nuclear agreement with Iran. That included Secretary of State, ex-Secretary of State Rex Tillerson, certainly. National Security Advisor Lieutenant General H.R. McMaster was another. James Mattis, considered to be another moderate, quote-unquote, at least in terms of Pompeo and Bolton and their ilk, is expected to depart in the near future. Mm. So the this is the switch off here, or the baseball card trading situation in the Trump administration and foreign and military policy that Sengupta is talking about. It's not simply a question of adding these nefarious characters like Bolton and Pompeo and what they represent. It's subtracting other people that would exercise any degree of caution in regard to our policies with Iran, or urging Trump to pursue a course of action that is not simply being rubber-stamped by the most radical elements in the Israeli lobby and the neocon establishment that works with the Israeli lobby.
Mm-hmm. And the Trump foreign policy team started out not so good, and it's only gotten worse. But yet, the if we look at the foreign policy, it's... there are important things that have happened that seem to be happening despite probably everybody in the foreign policy team opposing it. And I'm thinking, for instance, of the meeting with Kim Jong-un. And I can't think of a single person in the foreign policy establishment who would have wanted it. And indeed, it seems that President Trump was using the South Korean government as what would you call them, interlocutors or whatever, the go-betweens, and completely bypassing the State Department and the foreign policy establishment. And I don't know if there's really anybody in the foreign policy establishment who is in favor of forming better relations with Russia. And we haven't had as much progress, but you did have one good summit meeting with Putin. And President Trump still expresses hopes for deepening that relationship. So it, you know, the team, there were like on inauguration day, we had General Flynn as National Security Advisor. I had some hopes for him, and I had some hopes for Rex Tillerson, although he didn't turn out as well as I hoped, but he certainly wasn't horrible. The team's gotten worse, but I don't know if you could really say the policy's gotten worse. There's bad things that you can criticize, the two bombings of Iraq, of Syria, but and having, you know, this secret war in Syria. That's bad. This mega sale of arms to Saudi Arabia is bad. But this is all the stuff that had been going on already anyway. I don't know. Is my optimism... because I still have some optimism. Is it misplaced?
Well, I'm very pessimistic about this for the simple reason that it seems to me that with the people who are no longer in the Trump administration, as well as the people who are, that this is a decided push in favor of Israel and Saudi Arabia. It's a decided push for the neocons. It's a decided push for the most militant wing of the neoconservative movement in this country to start a war with Iran. And I go back to what Robert Gates said, you know, the old defense secretary in both the Bush and Obama administrations. When you look at these various people that are pushing for an overt American military attack on Iran. These are the folks who are hoping to, quote, fight the Iranians down to the last American, unquote. Mm-hmm. And that's a very astute observation on Gates' part. I'm no fan of Gates necessarily, mm-hmm. but on that particular statement, I think he hit the nail right on the head. And this is where I think the president has failed us, those of us who voted for him and for his America First policies. He has failed to set the tone by having people in his administration who may not be quite the team that you and I would put together, but nonetheless are not Bolton, are not Haley and Pompeo and people like that. And in regard to this whole issue of America First, Trump needs to take his case directly to the American people and to say, look, in regard to the policies that we have been pursuing since 2001, especially since 2001, in the Middle East, we're just getting in more deeply and more deeply all the time. Nothing is getting solved. Nothing is being settled. We've got to change course in order that our national debt can be dealt with in the next 10 years, and in order that there would be no further American loss of life in unwinnable situations that in my view could have and should have and still could be resolved by non-military means. What I see going on here with the Trump administration is anything but that. These policies that are being pursued with the utilization of the Mujahideen Khalq, this so-called Islamic this terrorist organization that developed in Iran in the 1960s with a that has a cult-like character to it, which is, of course, something that several of these articles that I cited in the one video get into. And then you get into this whole situation of this ongoing movement in terms of what we're doing in Syria that is designed basically to undermine any of the significant gains made by the Assad regime in regard to regaining control of its own territory and its own house and getting these foreign Wahhabic surrogate terrorist groups out of his country. The latest thing coming in on this, you can find at RT. This was published not too long ago today, and it's entitled U.S. Promises to Disrupt Oil Shipments to Syria. Sanctions Russian and Iranian companies. So sanctions have now been introduced against a so-called network of petroleum shipments to Syria, and Washington has come right out and has said that it wants to disrupt shipments of oil to Syrian-owned ports. There are six individuals that have been sanctioned over these oil shipments. We don't know the names, at least yet. Three institutions have been sanctioned. No evidence yet that the State Department has released the names of those institutions. But now the U.S. Coast Guard has gotten involved. They've issued an advisory warning, according to this article, warning of, quote, significant sanctions risks, unquote, on petroleum shipments to Syria. The U.S. has promised that it will, quote, unquote, disrupt any attempted shipments to government-owned ports in Syria. Well, on top of the sanctions on Iran, sanctions which, although not officially, indirectly even impact the importation of medicines and medicinal supplies of all kinds into that country, we're seeing that with this Syrian policy, it's part of a big picture, and it adds up to war, to me at least.
Okay, well, let's talk about that after we come back.
Extendivite, a seven-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started,
Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Attention RBN listeners. Dr. Ignatius Piazza, founder of Frontsight Firearms Training, and Fate have come together to allow RBN to run another fundraiser till the end of the year. We didn't really expect this opportunity, but thankfully, it's here and running as you hear this. We've set a goal of 500 donations by the end of the year, which averages around 6 per day, 7 days a week. When you realize all the folks listening to RBN all hours of the day and night, we think our goal is realistic and extremely critical to keep RBN on the air. If everybody listening will seriously assess their ability with firearms and then take advantage of this opportunity, we feel our goal is very conservative. Please take the time to look over FrontSight's website to get an idea of an amazing facility and the world-class training that's going on there. If this interests you, you likely will have like-minded friends that would like to know. Tell them. If for some reason some listeners are not personally interested, consider sons and daughters, close friends, nieces or nephews, top valued employees, inform club members, share the opportunity with police and fire departments. It's not too early to plan Christmas presents for special people. This fundraiser has come at an extremely critical time for RBN because the dire need for equipment upgrades. We're running on the spare tire currently with no money to fix a flat, and the fuel gauge is bouncing on E. This is one of the most valuable ways you can help RBN financially because you get Commander lifetime membership value that is 50 times your donation and can be passed on forever. How many times during life do you get to leave a legacy? See more details and contact info on our webpage, republicbroadcasting.org, and thank you.
Welcome back to the show, National Bugle Radio on RBN with Patrick Slattery and Mark Dankoff. So the one bright spot in President Trump's foreign policy team, as far as I'm concerned, has been President Trump himself. But he's not always getting what I would think is his way. And maybe I'm misreading him sometimes, what's his way, but I thought the opening to North Korea was a big deal, and it's going to continue. He said recently that he didn't set a date, but he expected early this coming year for another meeting to take place with Kim Jong-un, and I think it's a big deal. He should be meeting within the next couple of weeks with Vladimir Putin again. Is it Argentina for the G20 meeting? Whether they're going to have a good one-on-one meeting or not, I don't know if that's clear yet. And he brought on, he fired McMaster, whom I was not a fan of, brought on Bolton. Bolton immediately tried to scuttle the North Korea meeting, but eventually, in the end, Trump forced Bolton to go set it up, to go to Pyongyang and set it up. And, it was a very odd scene. I watched the meeting live, or at least what you could see live, and you'd see as they were scurrying from one venue to another in this Singaporean resort, you'd see them walking from building to building. And the expression on Bolton's face, and he was clutching these folders, and he clearly wasn't happy about it, but he was right in the middle of it. He was right in the middle of setting it up. It wasn't something he could do anything about. And at that time, I was thinking, is Trump going to be able to, remold Bolton and mold him into a tool of a Trumpian foreign policy? Probably not. I think that would be pretty hard to do. I won't say that Bolton has this policy in his DNA. After all, he's, I think, only 1/8 Jewish. But he certainly has it ingrained in him over all of these years. I don't like him being there. But I think we're going to find out a little bit more about the certainly the composition of the Trump foreign policy team, because he's got to select a successor to Nikki Haley, and that's somebody who will have to be confirmed by the Senate. And seeing as she's not leaving until the end of the year, but the selection could be made earlier, it's unclear whether it's going to be this Senate or the next Senate that would be doing the confirmation. The next Senate, he'll have at least 52, probably 53 members, Republican members, and he won't have McCain, and he won't have Flake, and he won't have Corker, but he will have Romney on amongst those 52 or 53. But it gives him a little more leeway than he had before. Then he gets to choose another assistant, a deputy national security advisor, to replace this Ricardel woman. And perhaps he's going to be replacing Mattis. So we'll see at least three new members of the team. Maybe we'll get some idea of the direction. But, of course, so far, his foreign policy team announcements, his appointments, have been pretty much unbroken long string of disappointments. I think it's fair to say.
Yeah, when we ask ourselves how and why is this happening, many would argue, and I would be one of them, that we can simply follow the trail of the money. I don't know if you saw recently that Trump awarded Sheldon Adelson with the Presidential Medal
wife,
of Freedom.
His wife.
Yes.
Miriam Adelson.
Yes. And, you know, to me, when you look at this whole issue, I think along with the Bolton and Pompeo appointments, it's pretty hard not for me not to conclude that the Trump administration in the foreign policy arena has largely been co-opted by the strongest pro-Zionist, pro-neocon elements that one could possibly ask for in an administration. I mean, certainly when we go back as America First types, which we are, and look at the Bush administration, and look at the era of people like Rumsfeld and Cheney and people that were floating around in the Trump administration at that time who were involved in the project for the new American century and all that that portended for a future American warlike interventionist regime change orientation in the Middle East. There are certain names that when we hear these names, we become mildly ill because we know exactly what those names mean. To me, when you look at names now like Bolton and Pompeo, I would say once again that these are people. You got a national security advisor and somebody who is now running the State Department with Pompeo's background. These guys, to me, have proven to be tools for the most pro-Zionist military interventionist element in this country. And so I can't conclude anything particularly positive that I see going on right now, especially when these actions vis-a-vis Iran and Syria and Russia and what we're doing in the Ukraine, bribing this crooked patriarch, all of this seems to point to business as usual.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll be right back after the break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back to the show, National Bugle Radio, with Patrick Slattery and Mark Dankoff. And maybe I'm always the optimist. You mentioned the Trump administration being co-opted by neocons, and certainly Bolton is an archetypical neocon, other than he's not ethnically Jewish, at least not more than 1/8. And Pompeo, I don't believe, is at all Jewish. And the thing about Pompeo is he was a congressman. I don't know if he was on a foreign policy related committee. He did a stint as CIA director for the first year or so of the Trump administration. I don't really think of him as a policy wonk. And these people in Congress spend so much time raising money for election purposes. They do spend a lot of time doing that. I don't know how deep they can get into it, but Bolton, of course, has spent his entire life in foreign policy, and he's not a politician. But here's just the one thing before we move on. Bolton was appointed in, I guess, April of this year, and it seemed that the very first thing he did was try to scuttle the North Korea talks, and Trump basically bent him to Trump's own will and forced him to set up the talks. And so I'm wondering, is Trump trying to co-opt the, you know, some neocons? Now, that's probably wouldn't even be a wise strategy, if that is a strategy. It probably wouldn't even be a wise one. But it's something that I wonder in the back of my mind. But things will be clearer when we have some more appointments and whatnot. If you want to comment on that, feel free. But otherwise, I'm interested in hearing about this Iranian group.
This is important for all of our listeners to understand who and what this Mujahideen-e-Khalq,
and M-E-K- what's, What's their abbreviation, MK something?
MEK, sometimes called MKO. This stands for People's Holy Warriors. It is imperative that everyone who listens to this broadcast and who is at all interested in what's going on in the Middle East with our foreign policy to become familiarized with who these people are. I happen to know a great deal about them because when I was living in Iran many years ago, visiting my parents there when I was a college student, the MEK at that time was participating in a series of assassinations of American military personnel and American defense contractors in that country.
And this was when the Shah was in
power. When the Shah, exactly, when the Shah of Iran was in power in the days of Pahlavi Iran. And at that time, of course, the MEK had it figured that they were a part of a coalition which would take over the Iranian government after the Shah was overthrown in the so-called coalition of red and black. Red being the MEK, a largely Marxist, less Islamic MEK, and the so-called black element, the so-called mullahs, the Islamic mullahs. Well, after the revolution, the Islamic mullahs decided, I think correctly, that this MEK organization should not be running Iran in any sense of the word. You had a circumstance where the MEK began undertaking acts of terrorism against the new regime in Iran at the same time that they ended up in Iraq. They had access to the so-called Camp Ashraf in Iraq and subsequently became a tool of the United States and Saddam Hussein in using the MEK in all of these operations that involved the what was essentially the Iraqi aggression against, in what ignited the 8-year war between Iran and Iraq between 1980 and 1988. At the same time, domestic acts of terror in Iran that had links to the MEK continued in those years. And if one looks at an organization called Iran Interlink, I think you can find them online at iran-interlink.org. If that doesn't work for you, go to my original Mark Dankoff's America page at markdankoff.com. Go to the links page, click on the Iran Interlink there, and it will take you directly to English language articles that at great length with great analysis that show you what comprises this group, who comprises this group, what their ideology is, what their whole history is. And these folks are not only criminals, folks. They run what is essentially the equivalent of a religious cult. Now, Paul Pilar's article at the National Interest, in fact, goes into a little bit of this, citing the well-known almost Jim Jones-like character that their husband and wife duo, Masoud and Miriam Rajavi, have run the MEK with all kinds of control of people's personal lives, breaking up marriages, sexual abuse at the hands of Masoud Rajavi, and so forth and so on. And interestingly enough, these guys, the MEK is now located in Albania. And they've met on at least one, if not more than one, location with a series or one occasion in Albania with Congressman, our U.S. Senate congressman here, U.S. Senator from here, not Cruz, but this other gentleman, John, what's Corbin. John's, what's that?
Corbin?
Yeah, they've met with him. They met with Rudolph Giuliani. They have met with Bolton.
In Albania.
Yeah, and that what you have is a situation where at the same time the MEK has been funneling money for quite some time to many of these individuals in the days when they were trying to and did successfully finally get the State Department to delist them as a terrorist organization. You had Ed Rendell up in Philadelphia, up in Pennsylvania, taking
former governor. He's Jewish, by the way. Former governor of Pennsylvania.
taking a lot of money from these people, and the New York Times has run a series of stories that people could find very easily through Google search, chronicling all of the American politicians who've taken money from the MEK with the amounts involved. Most amazingly, the former head of Albanian military intelligence, according to Paul Pillar, observes that the MEK members now living in Albania are essentially, quote-unquote, hostages in their own compound, in, quote-unquote, extraordinary psychological violence and threats of murder, unquote. And so, you know, as well as I, Patrick, you met Ed Rendell once. You told me about it, where you were next to him at a political event. You were right in there, seated right next to one of the slime buckets that was taking thousands of dollars. What's that?
He didn't know who I was, but he was funny. He kept sitting next. He kept like whispering things to me that the speaker would be saying things, and he was correcting all of the perceived inaccuracies of that speaker. And it was kind of funny. He didn't know who I was, but obviously I knew who he was.
Yes. And as you look at all of this, and again, the New York Times, has the full scoop on John Cornyn and all of these other people, and Rendell and company, Julian and company, Bolton and company, the amounts of money that they've taken from the MEK in this whole process, as the MEK has now basically turned itself over to American and Israeli intelligence to do their bidding in exchange for this absurd apparent promise to them that they're going to have some real power in running Iran in the event that the present regime is overthrown. I can assure you that Iranians across the political spectrum, and the Shah's son admitted this the other day, Reza Pahlavi, when he urged these regime change types who new regime in Iran not to be doing business with the MEK. Nobody in Iran supports these people. They know that they're murderers. They've been credited with killing at least 17,000 people in domestic acts of terror in Iran since the revolution, as I understand it. And when you start looking at these money figures, it's fascinating that just last year, our buddy John Bolton, the National Security Advisor to the President of the United States, made a single appearance at an MEK event in Paris and took $40,000 for it. And Aaron Marat, who has this article today in The Guardian that goes back to the 9th of November, that's almost 6,700 words long, indicates that in terms of multiple appearances, Bolton has cashed in $180,000 from these people. And again, in addition to all these big name fees and bribes, all of these other well-financed intelligence techniques are being used by the usual suspects to pump up the MEK. For example, our friend Pillar cites the fact that at this Paris event where Bolton was, the crowd was supplemented by busing in all these kids from Eastern Europe who enjoyed a free weekend in Paris. They used the same rent-a-crowd technique, Pillar says, for a demonstration outside the State Department. MEK was ramping up its lobbying a few years ago to be delisted as a foreign terrorist organization. Some of the participants in that event, Paul Pillar tells us today, in the National Interest, were recruited at a homeless shelter in New York. They admitted they knew very little about the MEK, but appreciated the free meals they were given for attending. So Pillar goes on to say where the money is coming from is still somewhat of a mystery. I don't think it's a mystery at all. The CIA and the Israeli intelligence community and probably the Saudis are funneling all kinds of money through the MEK to these politicians that are listed here as having been bought. Mm-hmm. Some clues, Pillar says, I love the way he puts this euphemistically, some clues point to governments that are regional rivals of Iran as the most likely source. So take that for what it's worth. You look at the whole business, and I find it fascinating that Elliot Abrams, according to Paul Pillar,
big Jewish neocon from
Pillar asks
not just the Bush administration, but the Reagan administration.
Yeah, Pillar asks us for once to tip our hats to Elliot Abrams, described by Pillard as a card-carrying neoconservative who has had more than his share of misdirection in Middle East policy, Pillar reminds us. But Abrams declined an invitation to speak at an MEK event. Abrams cited the fact that the group was still on the foreign terrorist organization list at the time. But the politically and morally inexcusable nature of advocating for such a group does not depend on such a formal list. Pillar says, well, but the point is, even Abrams recognized that Bolton, Giuliani, Ed Rendell, and a whole host of other establishment names who were getting thousands of dollars from these guys were all in violation of federal law about being materially benefiting from terrorist organizations. At the time they were getting this dough, the State Department still had the MEK listed as a terror group. Of course, it is still a terrorist organization, only now they're a terrorist organization that presumably is doing the thing of Bolton and Pompeo and Bibi Netanyahu and folks of their ilk that are trying to get this war with Iran started. But again, you look at the entire history of this organization. I'm looking forward to a more comprehensive read of Aaron Murat's piece at The Guardian on November the 9th. That's almost 6,700 words long, but it gets into what I understand is a complete summation of the kind of information one can read on these people. If you search my name, Mark Dankoff, with the MEK, you'll see all kinds of articles come up, including one I did on an MEK front that was known as the Iran Policy Committee, which has overt CIA connections with it. And some very strange things that surrounded a divorce between an executive director of the Iran Policy Committee and a wife who alleged that the Rajis had had her kidnapped and taken to Paris in order that she could forcibly sign a capitulatory divorce decree with a virtual gun held up to her head. I mean, these are the kinds of people that we're talking about here. And if you search my name, Mark Dankoff, with the MEK and with Iran, all kinds of things will surface. And you can read for yourself. In one of those articles, I believe I posted a link to the Rand Corporation's complete dossier on the MEK, which is at complete odds with the kind of garbage that Bolton would tell you and that Pompeo would tell you and other neocon pro-Israel types would now tell you about that organization. Mm-hmm. And last but not least, these guys did attempt unsuccessfully to assassinate my own father in Iran, mm-hmm. Going back to about 1976. So I know a lot about these folks. Paul Sheldon at Cal State Fullerton is an expert.
Paul
on the
Sheldon, we missed a syllable or two. Paul Sheldon, what was his last name?
Foot, F-O-O-T-E. Paul Sheldon Foot. He is a professor of economics, I believe, at Cal State Fullerton. But he worked in the American embassy well before my father was ever over in Iran. Dr. Foot worked out of the American embassy in days gone by. He's a Ron Paul Republican. And he could tell you all kinds of tales about these people and about many of the American politicians that front for these folks in both of the major political parties in the United States.
Okay. So I think next to a war with Russia, a war with Iran would probably be about the stupidest thing that could happen to us, that we could get involved in. And of course, there's been a push for war with Iran for, what would it be, about 15 years now, close to 15 years now. And what I think one of the things that has saved us from a war with Iran is enough people, and maybe a lot of it's in the military, but there's enough people who realize that Iran's a really big country. You know, Iran, its area is larger than the Confederate States of America were. Its population would be probably about the same size as those states have now. It's a very large country. So there's a couple of questions I have. One is, let's just say, I don't think there's going to be a war with Iran because I think saner heads are going to prevail, but it's a risk. It's a big risk. And I don't think the Iranian government is going to be overthrown because I think it has enough political support and governing capacity, but it could happen. Let's just say one way or another, the Iranian government was overthrown. Are these MEK people, would they be part of the new regime?
They might think so, but I can't believe that anyone truly believes that the Iranian people would accept that. Mm-hmm. Maybe you would find some return to some version of the old Pahlavi dynasty. I don't know. Okay. Maybe you raise up Pahlavi, waits in the wings, that would remain to
well,
be
seen. Let's talk about that after the break.
But not the MEK.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Welcome back to the show, National Bugle Radio, with Patrick Slattery and Mark Dankoffin. You know, just before the break, I asked whether the MEK might be part of some post-revolutionary Iran government. So two questions. One is, do Ed Rendell and the like, Elliot Abrams, do they have any, I don't know, the Elliot Abrams, I should throw him in there, but do they have any fantasies that MEK would be part of a post-revolutionary government? And then the second question is, we're in the midst of this $100 billion arms sale to Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia has been Israel's best friend in the Middle East. But what would happen if the monarchy were to fall? Whoever inherits that government inherits a massive arsenal.
Well, that's exactly right. And what happens if that government falls and the Shia majority in the eastern part of Saudi Arabia were to take over that country? Now, that would be an interesting development, wouldn't it? That would be something. You know, it's like the United States deciding to get rid of Saddam Hussein and coming up with totally fraudulent reasons for invading that country. And what do they end up with in the aftermath of that was a Shia regime running the central government of Iraq, and that was close to Tehran. And all of a sudden they're going, that wasn't what was supposed to happen. And so the long and the short of it is, folks, the law of unintended consequences is always there when you come into the business of regime change and war for regime change and supporting coup d'etats and all of that sort of thing. I did send to Dr. Slattery when we were off the air some New York Times stories from the 2011-2012 timeframe on the various people that were getting money from the MEK to help them get delisted from the State Department's list of terrorist organizations. This includes folks, former directors of the CIA and the FBI, retired generals, famous politicians of both parties. There's one article in particular, if you can find it, and I'm sure it's still online, that provides all the names and all of the lists of dollar figures that were involved in buying this delisting from the State Department's list of terror organizations. I'll just read a few quickly. James and Porter Goss, former CIA directors, Louis Free, former FBI director, George W. Bush's Homeland Security Secretary Tom Ridge, Attorney General Michael Mukasey, President Obama's first national security advisor, General James L. Jones. The MEK even enlisted journalists, including Carl Bernstein of Watergate fame and Clarence Page, a columnist for the Chicago Tribune. And then when you look at the dollar figures, of course, that come up, usually the fees were somewhere from 15 to 30 grand, according to the New York Times, for a speech to the group, as well as travel expenses to attend these phony rallies in Paris. Ed Rendell, the former Democratic governor of Pennsylvania, admitted that he had been paid a total of $150,000 to $160,000. And get a hold of the whole list, folks, and you can find out that this MEK organization rose in popularity and money when they linked up with Zionism.
Wow. Hey, fun fact, you sent me all these Times articles, and it has the logo of that T, that capital T, in the Gothic font. And it is, when you look at it, it's the letter T embedded in a star and crescent.
Yes.
I think it's just a genuine coincidence, but anyway. Well, thank you so much, Mark, for being on with me today.
And take a look at the International Business Times on the MEK and where they get their money to pay U.S. officials.
And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500. It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.